and say Happy New Month. You look beautiful. You look handsome. With a smile on your face, don't say you look handsome. The person will not believe you. Glory to God. Can we welcome back our Father? Our Shepherd. It's good to have you back, sir. And we also want to appreciate that we are giving us today to trash out this topic that we started last week. Because, amen. We started something last week and we thought last Sunday we'll be able to, you know, do justice to that topic. But we discovered that a lot of people have questions and we are going to continue today so that we can really go deeper into this topic. Amen. Let's go to our anchor scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Please help us pull it up, media. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Amen. The Bible says, likewise, ye wives, in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. Can you give me the TLB? Okay, thank you. The same goes for you wives. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, will be captivated by your behavior. He said, be good. This scripture is not only speaking to the wife, also to the husband. You know, last week we were able to establish the fact that character speaks louder than words sometimes. Speaks louder. That even if they are indifferent, he said, by your behavior, by your attitude, he said, it will change them. You know, and we look at the life of Smith Wigglesworth, that it was true, it was by his wife that he became converted. Amen. You know, marriage is actually a good thing, very good thing. It was instituted by God. God created marriage, and the Bible says that everything God created is good. So marriage is good. So many people have, you know, different opinions about marriage because of what they are going through. You know, they have different opinions. Some people will tell you marriage is just is slavery. It's as if you are going into slavery. Marriage is a lot of things to many people. But the truth is this. The tone of your marriage is set by the character of the individuals that is involved. Because marriage is a perfect relationship. Marriage. Because it is a model for the relationship between Christ and the church. So it is good. It is good. But what sets the tone of a marriage is the character of those people. One of the things that sets the tone of the marriage is the character of those people that are involved in this particular relationship. Amen. In our study, I was looking at the life of two women, two widows in the Bible. Number one is Abigail. You can find the story of Abigail in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25 from verse 3. The Bible says Abigail was beautiful and she had good sense. So it's not about beauty. She was beautiful and she had good sense. Vashti was also beautiful, but she didn't have sense. The Bible says Nabal was rich. So Abigail was like the wife of a very rich man, but that does not stop her character. She had a great character. Bible says if the Bible can say somebody has good sense, she has good sense. Trust me. By her character, she defended her home. She defended the men in her home from being slaughtered by David. And eventually, when Abigail's husband died, she became a widow and she got married to a king. When some singles are still struggling to have husbands, a widow, because of her, got married to a king. Because David saw saw in her something good. He saw in her something befitting a king. A character befitting a king. And so when there were so many, single ladies, untouched virgin in the city, David went to Abigail because of her character. David was highly impressed. And then the other widow that I looked at was Ruth. You can find the story of Ruth in the book of Ruth chapter 3 from verse 11. Ruth was also a widow. And, she showed so much love for her mother-in-law, Naomi. You know, when some of us hear mother-in-law, the story you always tell, mother-in-law. Yeah. My mother-in-law is sitting, so she's a great mother-in-law. Glory to God. You know, when you tell anybody mother-in-law, the next thing is, just see the picture of this woman with a big edge here, ready to destroy you, But the story was different for Naomi and Ruth. The Bible says Ruth saw something in Naomi. Even though, look at what Naomi went through. Her children died, her husband died. But Ruth still said, I will go with you. I will follow you. Because she saw the way she handled the situation she was into. Said, this God that you are worshipping, I will go with you. And she listened to the counsel of her mother-in-law, even when she wanted to get married. She said, go and meet Boaz. And even when Naomi told her to go and meet Boaz, but Boaz was sleeping. And Ruth went to sleep. She did just as Naomi, told her to do. Follow the counsel. She didn't throw herself at Boaz, as a free woman. This goes to the singles, that a man has promised to marry you does not mean you start throwing yourself at him. Ruth waited until the marriage, the process of the marriage, as according to culture, was done. She waited. And look at Boaz's testimony. He said, everybody in this town knows. Say now, my daughter, fear not. I will do this all that thou requires. For all the city, my people, know everybody knew her for her good character. Even if Boaz didn't want to marry her, this testimony alone is enough. So because a man has said, I'm going to marry you, it's not licensed for you to start sleeping with that man. It's not. Because you start washing his clothes, start cooking his food, you start sleeping with him. All the things he's supposed to get in my yard, and then you say, you still ask him, when are we going to get married? He says, marriage. I don't understand. For what again? Something he's supposed to spend money for, you are doing it to him for free. So, it's not foolish. It's not. So, most of us ladies think that you can use sex to actually tie a man down. No. It doesn't work that way. Because he will think that the way you are giving it to him for free, you will give to other people. That your web is free and open. Free browsing. Open. When you go to a place and there's free browsing, you see how everybody does be logging in. Free Wi-Fi. Free. Now in schools, especially when you go to schools or hotels where there's free Wi-Fi. Will you not connect? You connect now. You connect. When there's free Wi-Fi, free internet, nobody here will say we will not connect. You connect. So that's how it is. When, men see that you are so free, nothing, they will just connect. And then that's how you also think that you give to other people. That's just men. That's how they think. Then I was also studying the book of 1 Samuel. And I saw one man there. I've been reading 1 Samuel for a while now. And I didn't actually go through. When you are teaching a topic, you just begin to see things. And I saw a man. His name is Mr. Phineas Eli. He's the son of a priest. You know, I've just been looking, I've been reading 1 Samuel, and, you know, I just, sons of Eli were Belial. They didn't love God, they were evil men. But I just saw through Phineas, you know. Phineas was a married man. The Bible says he was greedy. He was greedy and adulterous. He was always running around with maidens in the temple. He had a wife. He had a wife. Pregnant wife. He brought calamity upon his family. And when he died, the wife also, you know, because of the news she heard, went into forced labor. And she also died. And making their child an orphan. The same day, the husband died, the mother died, his wife died. He's a wonderful man, Abby. And still looking at the life of Phineas, you know, look at the kind of calamity he brought to his family in a single day because of his attitude. Adultery is a very dangerous thing. He opens the door to the enemy. He opens the family to attacks. Opens the children, the wife. If it's the husband that is indulging in this, opens your wife and the children to attacks. If it's the wife that is getting involved, he opens your husband and children to attacks. I heard the story of a man in Calabar. He had a side chick. That's the name we call it. A side chick. And unfortunately for this man, the side chick had his, the mamas in quotes. And so when the wife heard of this, you know, relationship, the wife went to, you know, face her and, you know, was abusing her, you know, calling her up on it. The woman didn't say anything. The next day or the next week, a strange fire, physical fire, came into their house, both the children, and they all loved them, and the wife, everybody got burnt. Yes, not it's not fiction. It happened in Calabar. It's not fiction. So that is what adultery can do to a family. He opens the door wide to the enemy to come in. Amen. And still on Phineas, I also got this for the singles. Involve God in your choosing of a life partner. Don't look at the status of the man or the status of his parents. Phineas was the son of a priest. His father is a pastor. His father is a GO. He's a pastor. He's tongue speaking. And then we leave God out of the equation. You know, there's a lot of teaching going around now that the Bible says, he who finds a wife, find a good thing. And they leave the second part. The Bible says, and obtains favor. So you find by favor. He who finds a husband too. He who finds. So we need to involve God in our choosing. So the fact that a lady is of age for marriage, or a man is of age, does not mean that he can handle the responsibility that comes with marriage. Longevity is not equal to maturity at all, not anywhere. Not every man you see is a husband, and not every woman you see is a husband. So you need to involve God. God knows you. He knows you from your mother's womb. He knows your father. He knows your character. He knows the assignment that he has given unto you. And so, he knows the person that has the capacity to stay with you, even to achieve that assignment. He knows. So don't tell me that God, since some people tell you, since Adam has asked God, that is the woman you gave me, God has, what? If God can direct you in your business, if God can direct you for the next step to take, you ask God for everything. So why not marriage? Marriage that has to do with your life. Marriage. And you tell me that God will tell you to go and do what you want. No, I disagree completely. So singles involve God. Imagine what the wife of Phineas, I don't know what she was thinking when she got married. Maybe she just got married to Phineas, thinking, you know, because he's the son of a priest. But look at what has happened. The Bible says Phineas was an evil man. And he didn't love the things of God. Even despite the fact he was a priest, he was a priest's son. So it's not about the status of that man. It's not about the status of the parents. It's not. It's not. Singles, are you listening to me? All right. Praise God. So last week, we spoke more about characters, the things we ought not to do in marriage. Amen. Characters that easily destroy marriages. This today we are going to be talking about what should we do? What should husbands do? What should wives do? Amen. Number one to husband is, husbands, protect your wife. Protect your wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's go to verse 7. Protect your wife. Likewise, dear husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. Can I have it in the New King James Version? Verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Protect your wife from the strain of housework. Protect your wife. It can be very tiring. Some women go into depression for this. Sometimes it can be very, very tiring. And that's the truth. Even if your wife is a full-ass wife, if you want to try one day, just let your wife leave you with the children and she goes out for one day. You will know that the Lord is good. In fact, the woman will not have gotten to where she's going. The other one will say, hello? Babe, where are you now? Are you on your way back? And the woman will say, I'll just leave the house now. I say, oh, okay. I'm just checking. Just try it one day and leave your women. Maybe we are going to have maybe one weekend that will just be in church. The husbands will be at home taking care of the children. And then we will be in church. We'll be doing, you know, we'll be praying and we'll be relaxing. We'll have a conference. Pastor will help us approve it. He's an understanding pastor. Hallelujah. So please help your wife, especially when the wife is pregnant. Please help out. Help her wash. God will give you strength. I can see the way some husbands are looking at me. Help her wash all the washables. Help her out. When you help your wife, you are helping yourself. Because you are one in the sight of God. Protect her from your parents. Protect her from your siblings. Protect her. You know, there are some father-in-laws that speak bad about their daughter-in-laws. There are some mother-in-laws that speak bad about their daughter-in-laws. Protect her at that time. Don't talk bad to her, about her to anybody. Yes, she has a weakness, but it is not for you to go and start sharing that weakness with people. We know a lot of marriages that have been destroyed by in-laws. There's a track record of such homes that have been destroyed by in-laws. So protect your wife as if you are protecting yourself. So if they come and report that to you, that's not when you now start saying, that's what I'm managing, you know. In fact, I don't know. That's what I've been managing. You can see, you too, you are seeing, Abby. No, that's not the way to go about it. when they tell you something bad about your wife, when you get home, you can ask her about it and tell her, okay, apologize. You understand? Do it between yourselves. Don't spread an email in the public. Don't. It makes your wife vulnerable. Yes. It makes her vulnerable. It's as if you are leaving her to the sharks. To, okay, you can have her and have her for lunch. That's what you are doing. And then it gives your parents more power. You think the power is over your wife, but it's actually over you. Because they will begin to dictate everything that happens in your home. Yes. Including teaching you how to handle your wife. So, you are still mommy's boy. In quotes. And then your wife will not be able to trust you. She won't be able to trust your decisions, even as a husband. Because anything you say, mommy has said it, Abby. Is it daddy that said it? Or is it your brother? Because I don't know who to respect anymore. That's the truth. That's what happens. When you give decisions, you can't trust that decision came from you. Because even in the presence of your in-laws, you shred her. You make her feel like nothing. And then you say your wife is stubborn. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Number two for men to do. Listen to your wife sincerely. Sincerely. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. When your wife comes to you to table issues, to talk to you about matters, listen to her. Listen to her. He said, the Bible says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This submission is talking about honoring each other, respecting her opinion on issues. Your wife may be the weaker vessel, but the Lord has granted, she has a gift. Recognize the strength of your wife. Do you understand? She has a gift that the Lord has given to her to help you. Like some women have strong discernment. Very strong discernment. And their husband is about to go for a business or something, and she tells you, this business, I don't think we should put our money in it. But because you want to show that you are the lion of the tribe of your lineage, you say, no, that's where I put my money. And there's nothing you can say. I'm the head of this home. And then you end up losing a whole lot of money. And then you come back home, you can't say anything. They say, welcome. You say, You become the lamb. So recognize the strength in your wife and listen to her. As the head, you are supposed to have ear to listen. Listen to her. Listen carefully when she's talking to you. Because the truth is, the gift will manifest one way or the other. If you stop listening to her, she will talk to other people. If you don't listen to your wife, because women, we are gifted with utterance. We like, you know. So if you, as the husband, if you are not listening to your watching sports, for some people that love sports, she wants to talk to you, you are with your phone, you are not listening, you are not willing to listen. She'll start talking to other people, and that can be dangerous. When your wife finds solace in talking to other people or giving other people advice, that's dangerous. Because you also start getting counsel that can break your home. She will start having friends that you don't know about. Because sometimes when she meets maybe a new person today, and she comes and wants to tell you, I went to the mall today, dear, and I met somebody in the market. You know, a friend, you know. You don't even know her friends. You don't listen when she tells you that. So you can't even advise her. Oh, that lady, I think you should be careful. But you can't tell her that. She just go ahead and be friends with that person. And then you only know about it maybe when there's an issue in the home. So you need to listen to your wife. Men are guilty of this. That's why we are all quiet. Because we are busy creatures. We are busy. We want to do this, do that, do that. Please, let's have time to listen to our wife. Recognize the gift of God in your wife. And it is meant for you, for her to help you get to where you want to be. I heard the story of a man that, you know, got tagged in his place of work. And, you know, when he got to, he thought that was the end of it. Thought that was the end. And he came home dejected. A true life story. He came home dejected, so sad. And he sat down. And so when he came in, the wife told him, what is the problem? And he told her, look at the letter I was giving to work today. And the wife said, is that why you are sad? He said, yes. Why would I not be sad? And the wife said, don't worry. All the funds you've been giving me to do upkeep, I've actually been saving part of it. I don't spend everything. This is how much I have. I know you have a gift of writing, my husband. So all those books, all those manuscripts that you have, let's turn it to books. So the husband listened to the wife's advice and he started writing. And guess what? The man became the best writer ever. And the family was taken from grass to grace by the husband listening to the wife. And by the wife contributing a quota to marriage. So let's listen to our wife. When they tell us, let's listen. Let's listen. Amen. Number three, appreciate your wife and encourage your children to do the same. Appreciate your wife. Don't be stingy with your thank yous. She does so much for you, for the children. She does so much. Appreciate her. Thank her. Send her messages at work. Or you can even write on her Facebook page, I'm the best husband in the world. I love being married to you. What's so difficult in writing that? Thank you. You will pay for that though. Because you know she has a lot of friends on Facebook. So everybody say, oh, imagine my husband writes that on Facebook. I'll just be sharing. I'll just keep sharing. Wake her in the middle of the night. Yeah, I want to talk to you. And I say, what do you want to say? I just want to thank you for everything that you have done. No, I just want to thank you for who you are to me. I appreciate the gift of God upon your life. If not for you, where would I be? You know, when she wakes up the following morning, try it, you see. She will gain a new strength. Yes. She can even come and serve you tea on the bed. Try it, men, and see. You will pay for all this advice I'm giving you. Amen. She will gain a new strength and energy. Imagine somebody has been doing a lot of work and you don't appreciate the person. The person will even feel maybe she's not doing enough. She feels tired easily. Okay? You are even doing it. You are not even saying anything. In our minds, we just be thinking. That's why you see some wives, they will call their husband, sit down. What is it that I'm not doing well? Can you tell me what I've been doing wrong? She's not doing anything wrong, but because the wife, husband, she'll go to work, come and wear my hood. You want to sleep. I'm going to office. You will come back. You'll come to church. Nothing, no smile, nothing. And the woman will call the husband. Please sit down. We have a discussion. What happened? What is this? How may I help you? I just want to ask you what I've been doing wrong. Is there anywhere you want me to improve? Because she feels she hasn't done enough. She wants to do more. And then that's why you see some women, when they are walking on the street, they look so far away. They are not bad women, but they are. They, some of them are women that have not been appreciated or not by their husbands. Yeah, yeah. Some of them are women that have not been appreciated enough. Everything you say to her is lash her, put her down. You are impatient. You are always angry with her. So she sees herself as not good enough for anything. You lash her everywhere. Lash her in front of her in-laws. Lash her in front of her children. She doesn't do anything right at all. And then she begins to feel, have low self-esteem. For anything she does, you thank her. Thank you. Wow. You did this. Especially when she cooks. Even if there's, you know, a little salt. I mean, a little salt will not wound you now. You know, just eat it with love and say, wow. Well, I think maybe, you know, the next time you can just probably reduce the salt, you know, a bit so that you don't won't just be going to the market and just be buying salt every time like that. You know? Don't lash at this. Do you want to finish the salt in one day? Can't you just cook well? I went to Mr. Femi Abati's house last week and the food was impeccable. And then your wife was still very bad because she has slaved in the kitchen all day, sweaty, cooking, and then she hears that. You compare her to another woman. That can be very frustrating, I tell you. If your wife has not told you before, I'm telling you now, it's not good. It's not good. Don't compare your wife with any other woman. Don't compare. She's a different person. She's different. She's different. Don't compare your wife's food with your neighbor's food. In fact, your neighbor should stop bringing food to your house. Because every time your neighbors bring food, they're always saying, you see, this is how they cook soup. This is how vegetables should taste. The iru is not too much, the maggi is not too much, and the poor woman is just looking at you. So please, let's appreciate our wives. Very important. We do a lot. Women, Abi. Women, you're not answering. I'm talking. We do a lot, so please appreciate us. Appreciate us. Amen. So, you know, I just wanted to, the teaching will just go through now, and we have questions. Maybe one question now in the first service, and questions, contributions will come in the second service. Are we okay with that? Amen. Number 4, love your wife. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 29. I would have loved this in MSB, if you have it. From verse 5, no 25. Sir, hold on, sir. Go all out. Go all out of. Go all out. Love is not about getting, it's about giving. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, and he gave. So he said, go all out of love. Outdo yourself in loving your wife. Outdo yourself. Go ahead, sir.
Go all out in your love for your wife, exactly as Christ did for the church.
Exactly. Men, don't be afraid, though. Because Christ died for the church, right? So you begin to think, am I supposed to die for my wife too? No. Christ has died for all of us. But outdo yours. He's saying to the extent at which you should love your wife. That you should even do it more than you love yourself. Don't put yourself at the middle of everything. Think about how she feels. Think about her emotions. Yes, sir.
A love marked by giving, not getting.
Can you hear that? A love marked by giving, not getting. Don't misguide the woman. Don't you always make things, get things, always getting from her. Do this for me. Have you done this? Have you? What have you done for her? Even in, when you correct her, it's lasting. When you correct her, you're supposed to correct her even in love for yourself. Go all out and show love to your wife. Just like Christ loved the church. Yeah, we have different love languages. Even some women, some people like giving them gifts. You giving them gifts. I like receiving gifts. It's one of my love languages. And my husband knows. So you need to look for what, how can you show love to your wife? Is it by giving her gifts? Is it words of affirmation? Is it by doing, is it by act of service? There are some women. Just lay bed for her. Ah, you love me, my dear. Ah, wow. You lay the bed. What? But for some people, lay the bed, We'll sleep on it together. I'm just saying that for some women, for some people, you know, it's just when you give, just buy a little, even one orange, buy for them. Wow, orange. It will look like apple to her, orange, because she, you know, her love language is gift. Just try and see what your, some men don't know what their love, wife's love language is. They don't know. So look, just find out. Or women, should I say we should just write it down? And just put it in his pocket. My love language is. Don't let him know you are doing that. So let's save them from the stress of trying to find out so that they can start doing it immediately. Amen. Just find out. If she likes acts of service, you can, you know, help around the house the more. And then she will appreciate that. When you travel, buy her gifts. When you go out, even if you don't travel, you just go to work. When you are coming back, buy her gifts. Don't wait till her birthday. Some husband until he's... What, Daddy, welcome. What did you bring? Is today your birthday? What are we celebrating? Is today our marriage anniversary? No. Don't let us wait, you know, for that. Just buy a little present. I just give it to her. I just bought it for you, you know, because I love you. Ah. She might not even use that gift. Some women will go and put it somewhere and be looking at it. And be looking at it. I pray God will provide for all husbands in Jesus' name to do that. Number 5 for men, be the spiritual leader of the home. Very important. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Can we read that together? KJV. I want that in the King James Version. Be the spiritual leader of your home. Yes. For I know him. That is what God is saying about Abraham. Look at what God is saying about Abraham. I know him. That he will command his children. He will command his household. And he will command his wife. He will command his children. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. To do justice and judgment. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Look at what God is saying about Abraham. God was so sure that Abraham will teach his children the way of the Lord. He will teach his household the way of the Lord. So honors has fallen upon you as the man of the house to teach your children, teach your wife. Pray for them. Pray with them. Don't only pray for them. Pray with them. You insist that everybody comes to church. Not that only you will carry your bag and be coming. Because you have probably, I don't know, an engagement in church, then you leave your wife and children at home. That is not God's expectation of the husband. That is not God's expectation of the husband. have morning devotions with your children, with your wife. Pray with them. Teach them the word of God. When you teach them, you are training them up in who you want them to become. And then you will have rest when you have grown up. You know, somebody was saying that there are three stages of a man's life. That there's a time when you tell your children what to do. You tell them what to do. And this is the stage for so many of us here seated. You teach them the way of the Lord. You teach them the Bible. You buy Bible for them. You teach them. And then there's another stage when the child would have grown up. And then it would be, before he tells you anything, he has taken a decision. And then you say, have you done? I said, ah, daddy, since I've done it, since he doesn't tell you, he or she does not tell you what he wants to do. He takes decisions on his own. And then there's another time when they are the ones that will be taking decisions for you because you'd have grown old. Yes. You'd have grown old. And then they will say, daddy, I want to take you to the hospital. You say, I won't take me to a private. Now, daddy is general hospital. General hospital, you are going. Before you even say, they will pack you and put it in the car. You have no say again. But it is what you do at the first stage that prepares for that. That prepares for that. If you imbibe the culture of the Bible into them, the fear of God is in them. They will not treat you anyhow in old age. They won't. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Train up a child. It is a child you don't train that destroys the future. So fathers, let's not shy away from our responsibility. Don't leave your wife to do it alone. Be involved in the life of your children. You don't only become a father when your wife gives birth. Even from pregnancy, you're already a father. Even from marrying, maybe you get married, you're already a father. You don't become a father when your wife gives birth. No. You train to be a father from singlehood. By learning, even you, before you get, you learn, you know the word of God. You prepare for how you are going to manage your home. It is what you have that you give. You can't give what you don't have. So as men, should I say challenge? I don't want to challenge us. I implore us to stand up to our responsibilities as husbands. And I pray the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Moving on to wives in marriage. Wives. I'm sure you already know the first thing I will say. Amen. The Bible is our standard. That's our standard. The scriptures, that's our standard. So number one to do for a wife, submit to your husband. That is the standard of the Bible. You know, a sister was asking last Sunday, when they say, is she here? She's here. Okay. She's smiling at me already. When we see submission, what should come to our mind? What should come to your mind is the relationship between Christ and the church. When you hear submission, that is what should come to your mind. Ephesians chapter 12:24. So there is no two way about it. There is no shortcut. Can we read in the I want in the Amplified or MSV. Amplified. Amplified or MSB from verse 21, Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 21. Chapter 5 from verse 21. Submitting one to another.
In the fear of God.
In the fear of God.
Wives.
Wives.
Submit to your husband.
Submit to your husband.
As, sorry, MSB, right? Out of respect for Christ.
Out of respect for Christ.
Be courteously reverent to one another.
Be courteously. That verse 21 has to do with both husband and wife. That out of respect for Christ. Honor your wife as a man.
Wives, understand and support your husband in ways that show your support for Christ.
So when you are submitting to your husband, you are submitting to Christ. That's why we tell singles, don't just marry anybody. Marry a born again. Marry a disciple of Christ that follows Christ. So that you'll be able to follow him. Just as he submitted to Christ. Because that's the order. That's the order. Christ, the husband, you. Submit your husband as unto the Lord. And that also means, that does not mean, okay, if a woman now marries maybe a so-called Christian, you know, and the person is telling you to do things that go against God, then you do it. No, that's not submission anymore. Because that's not unto the Lord. I wrote here, I said, submission is accepting the authority of your husband. Just as the church submits to Christ. The church receives direction from Christ. Right? You receive direction from your husband. Some men are looking at their wife. So we have taken our own. Yeah? It's time for you to receive your own quota. So there's no shortcut about it. No. Submit to your husband just as the church submits to Christ. And submission, you know, I was also reading a version that wrote submission as adjusting. Adjust. It also means that you adjust to your role as a wife. That you now have a head. Yes. You know, some women, we all make these mistakes. The way we relate with our husbands when we're still boyfriend and girlfriend. You share. Get away. What's wrong with you? Nonsense. And then you bring that. Even when you get married. When you get married, your husband has stepped into another office. The office of the head is no longer your boyfriend. Is no longer your paddy-paddy. Though it's still your boss. It's still your paddy-paddy boss. You have to respect the office is older now as a husband. We need to recognize that fact. And so you can't just talk to him anyhow. You need to recognize the fact that before you make any decision, your husband, you need to seek your husband's counsel. That's what it means. As a woman, you need to seek his counsel. I have less than 3 minutes. I want us to really talk on this submission for wives, because it's actually an issue in marriage. Right or right? So we are just going to take one question before I leave this place. One question. I don't know if there's any question. Do you have anybody that has a question or contribution? Pastor asked question. Okay, here's the contribution.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just want to stress on Ruth chapter 3 verse 11, where the Bible says everyone knows she has a noble character. Character is like a fragrance. You can't hide it. Everybody will know. Most often in courtship, people hide their character. But marriage reveals character. No matter how you try for someone to marry you, you hide your character. Marriage will escalate you. And so, the Bible says, Boaz telling Ruth, everybody knows. If it was a bad character, everybody will know. And so, no matter how you try to package it, first 2-3 years of marriage, people try to package themselves instead of checking themselves, instead of working on themselves. They try to hide it. After first child, Papa to be more kuni, tojo kuni lokokobia upi. There's nothing again. Mutibia ruli. Character will start manifesting. Character. And so, don't. Most of us try to cover it instead of working on it. You try to hide it. And so, you'll be wondering that, was it not this lady? In-laws will come now. She doesn't see anybody again. After 2-3 days, praise God. So, I want to all just pray in the Lord. You can't. It's not for your husband alone. Even in church, your character has a way of smelling if it is bad. That even church we know. Work neighbors we know. You can't hide it. So, work on it. Would that be a good if you try to cover it? But expose it to the truth. Expose it. It might be painful, but you get healed. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much, sir. Do you have any other question or contribution from the congregation? Brother Jesse.
Yeah.
Amen.
I just wanted to say, I feel like sometimes what kills communication, especially in marriage, I'm not licensed to say that, but in marriage or relationships, is the fact that sometimes we want to let peace reign and not say certain things out. And then we do not know the right way to correct. I used to have a friend. This was how she affected my dress sense. I used to have a very bad dress sense. So what she wants to see me wear, she'll buy it. So she can just say, I like when you when you wear colored socks. And then she'll buy like 2-3 colored socks. And then she'll shift that body, say, wow, your colored socks is nice. And so this woman likes this colored socks. Let me buy more. You understand? So maybe as women, we could adopt that manner to actually affect the same thing with our husbands. Instead of, I met a man once that said he liked the qualification of somebody's wife. He was qualified in terms of education, but he didn't send his own wife to school. You understand? And he said his own wife, he doesn't even like the way his wife is behaving, that she's an illiterate. But he didn't send his wife to school. So the best thing that I would have done is that you like the way this person is cooking. One day, you and your wife stay in the kitchen and say, oh, yeah, no, let's reduce the salt. Do you understand? There's this thing I learned from YouTube. Let's add it. Two of you cook together and say, Omo babe, this food mad. Oh, let's be cooking like this. You are just giving her a standard. But where there is no standard, she will always fall short of that glory as well, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. And I just want you to pray for your family. Everything we have discussed, you know how it has affected your family or what your family is going through right now. So we are in the presence of God, and I want you to speak to God everywhere that you know there is need for correction. There is need for the hand of God. I want you to talk to God now that the Lord will breathe on your marriage. That the Lord will breathe on your marriage. I don't know the character that you want God to help you with. That the King of Kings will help you adjust everywhere that need adjustment in your life, in the life of your husband. Just talk to God. Single, pray to God that the Lord will direct you. The Lord will lead you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.